Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Next week, we will be back to our normal services, 8:30, 10:30, just so you're aware of that. All back to normal. And of course, Children's Church will start at the end of January. It's great to have the children with us today. We must remember, next week when we have 8:30, 10:30, if your child's in the service, you're welcome for the kids just to come up the front and enjoy the praise and worship. But that's next week, 8:30 and 10:30 services back. Brilliant. I'm looking forward. Do you know in 15 hours you'll step into 2024? Yeah. It's not every year that we get a Sunday is a New Year's Eve Sunday, you know. So we've got 15 hours to go. Enjoy the rest of this year because the new year will unfold. Do you know every year is a reset, literally speaking, because the calendar tomorrow will be the 21st of January, won't it? Again. And some of us have seen a lot of the 21st of January's over our lifetime. Would you agree? It's a reset. What? Sorry? First? I said that, didn't I? What'd I say? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, thank you. So it'll be the first. That's cool. So the first, you can have the first, I'll have the 21st, whatever you want to think. But the point is, it's a reset. The 1st of January happens again and again. It's that day that comes every time we reset the calendar, don't we? And you know, the reality is, as in the very literal reset of the calendar, there can be a time where we take the opportunity to reset our lives. It can be opportunity to reset. It can be an opportunity maybe to reset some of the thoughts that we have. You know, maybe some of the attitudes that we didn't like last year. Oh, I don't want to bring that attitude into this and next year. Or maybe the reality is it's an opportunity just to reset, you know, some of those habits that you say, I just don't need that again this coming year. There's a whole bunch of things that can happen in this reset. And I love that, you know, maybe actions that we thought, well, that weren't appropriate, things that I've, you know, regrets about what I'd said and did, you say, I don't need to do that. And so there's an opportunity. And you know, also about the calendar year and also about the new year is it's a new season. Literally, it's a new season. 2024 we've never had a 2024 again. I haven't had it before, we'll never have it again. There's only going to be one. It's a new season, quite literally, isn't it? Once again, brought on by the calendar, 2024. And sometimes there can be a new season for us as we move into next year. We're not quite sure what's going to happen next year. We're not quite sure the good times or the bad times we'll face. I'm just glad that we could sing that song and say we might know what's going to happen, but we can know the one who holds our future. So it can be a time of a new season, new paths, new ways, new direction, new thought processes, new life. And I think it's a great opportunity to do that. I want to read to you a passage because Jesus, there was a moment in his life where it wasn't a new year for him, but it was a new season for him. And as he faced that new season, some things unfolded. There were some things that he had to do before he went into the new season. It was a new season because there came a time in Jesus' life when it was no longer that he was just going to be known as the son of Mary and the stepson of Joseph. It was a time when he knew he had to reveal himself as of course, the Son of God. And there came a moment when he knew that he had to reveal himself as the healer, for instance, and you know, maybe the people like blind Bartimaeus, where he would physically touch bodies and heal people. And the deliverer, he had to reveal himself as the deliverer of maybe the mentally tormented, like Mary Magdalene, for instance, and as you read through the Bible. And then, of course, the Savior. He had to reveal himself as a Savior, where he would, you know, forgive the sins of people. And I'm sure Peter, the disciple of Jesus, was so thankful for that. And so we see that there came a moment where it was no longer just the man who was worked for his dad in his local business, or the man who was the son of Mary, the stepson of Joseph. Now he knew there was going to come a time. And it was interesting that that time was heralded not by this wonderful, you know, moment when he would be, you know, exalted and lifted up, but it came at a cost to Jesus to then be revealed into that realm and that new season of his life. And it's revealed in Matthew chapter 4, and I want to read it to you this morning. Matthew 4, verses 2 to 11, and it reads like this: "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry, and when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' And he answered, 'It's written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' And then the devil took him up in the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God,'" you know, accusation, the devil, he loves to do that. He loves to accuse you. "If you really are a Christian, if you really are a believer, you know, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written,'" and he misquoted scripture, the devil did, "'He shall give his angels charge over you, and in these hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said, "Oh, wake up." No, he didn't. He says, "It's written, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Devil, you're off the planet. You don't understand what you're saying. "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." "And again, the devil took him up an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me.' And then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him." Jesus stepped into his new season, and it wasn't a celebration, but it was a season of tests and temptations. It was a season where Jesus had to come through something. He had to push through into new levels. He had to, for him to set himself for the next season of his life, the next 3 years, and he was aiming at the cross. Of course, he had to set himself, and it wasn't in something that was a celebratory or it wasn't an exciting moment. It was a difficult time. It was a pushing through. And we specifically see of tests and temptations that Jesus had to go through. The truth is that happens if we want to push through. If we want to push through in 2024, you know what? There's going to come some tests and temptations. There's going to come some moments when, because you know, who knows that nothing ever is achieved in the good times, but it's always achieved when we push through, we press on through the difficult times, hey? It's always achieved that way. I remember I dislocated and fractured my left shoulder in one easy movement playing touch football one night many, many years ago. Taken to the hospital by the ambulance, and 2 hours later, they finally aligned the shoulder back in the socket. That was a fun night. And it was also, fractured. And it's been since that point, I've had to keep this shoulder from being, I suppose, freezing or even immobile to a certain extent. I've had to exercise it, not just every year, once a year, but, you know, pretty much every week I just need to exercise it. I don't do a great lot. I'm no bodybuilder, but I just simply have to exercise it because it keeps it free. It keeps it mobile. And, you know, I've discovered, and that takes work, doesn't it? Exercise takes work. If you ever go for a walk or a run or whatever, exercise, it takes work. A bit of sweat on the brow, doesn't it? And I've discovered in life, anything worth fighting for, anything worth having, takes work. If you want to see mobility, if you want to see freedom in your life, it takes some work. So the Spirit, coming to this story, Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Remember, he'd been water baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit had ascended upon him. And now he goes into the desert, and he's led by the Spirit. Wow, that's an interesting thought. The Holy Spirit led him to that place, and there he was tempted by the devil. And it's important that we see this, because Jesus examples to us how to fulfill those things which we want to see come to pass in 2024. And it's going to come through. Gee, I wish I had that really good sermon where it says, you know, everything's going to be really good for 2024 and it's going to breeze through. And you know what? I want to say that that's very possible, but the truth is we have to face, there'll be times when we face some things that are tests and temptations. And when we come through them, I tell you, that's where the victory lies. That's where the new season will unfold. That's where the reset, the alignment maybe of the shoulder, the alignment with God and alignment with His blessings will happen when we come through. And Jesus gives us an example here. Three tests, three temptations. And I want to just expound that to you as we move from this year into the next and how we can live our lives with a strength and a hope and a joy and a peace in 2024. No matter what happens, we can live with those elements, those attributes. And so we see the first thing that Jesus is tempted, the first temptation that we're going to face. It says in verse 2 to 4, it says, when he was, had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. You don't say. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread. And Jesus gave us that iconic statement, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The temptation that we, not only Jesus will face, if the devil does it to Jesus, you know he's going to do it to his creation. That's us. And so the temptation that'll come will be to reduce yourself down to an appetite. Let me explain. We live in a culture in this year and we'll live in a culture next year. It will be somewhat the same, maybe even worse. And this is what people say. However we feel is a reliable guide to how we should behave. Whatever we feel is a reliable guide to how we should behave. The way that you can have a happy life, they say, is to fulfill every appetite, every desire you may feel. If you want to drink it, drink it. If you want to snort it, snort it. If you want to smoke it, smoke it. If you want to watch it, watch it. And literally what they're saying is this, is they're saying anything, if you feel it, just act on it. That's a culture of the world. To some, and different people to different levels of that, I suppose. The problem is that advice isn't really working because we see an ever-increasing number of people popping antidepressant pills, and we see an ever-increasing number of people with mental health issues. I'm not belittling any of that in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying it's a bit of a sign of a culture that says, just do what you feel. Just, indulge your appetite in whatever, And the truth is that we see a generation that say there's no God, and if there's no God, then we are nothing more than biology. We're nothing more than just physical matter, just like anything else. I'm no different to this pulpit here this morning, this plastic perspex. I'm no different. That's what people have been fed. And if you think that, of course, what's going to happen is you just say, well, I'll live, eat, be merry, do what I want, fulfill my desires, and eventually I'll die, and that's the end of it. But the Bible teaches us about morals. The Bible teaches us about principles, absolutes, and how we live our life. The Bible teaches us, and it speaks against trying to fulfill appetites that are unhealthy, doesn't it? And you know what the world thinks? It's madness. Why would you agree with that? Why would you follow that? You know, if we were to take the example of sexuality, I remember when and people say, why do you withhold yourself? Why do you never get intimately physical with the person before you marry them? That's ridiculous. When I worked at the power station for several years, I was 6 months out from getting married. And all of a sudden, everybody came and became an expert. All my friends, all the guys at work became an expert in what I should do before I got married. And the common phrase was, how will you ever know if you're not physically intimate? They didn't kind of say those words. They used other words. But we'll give you the G-rated version this morning. How will you ever know unless you're physically intimate with your fiancé? And then there was this one guy. This is one guy, every time he saw me, which was probably every couple of days, he'd say, try before you buy. And I was thinking, I'm not reducing my fiance down to a purchase, an item off the shelf. He says, oh, you're stupid. idiot. I say, well, just let me be the idiot. And let's just wait in time and see what happens. He was quite a nice guy. He was just, I don't know, he was the devil's tormentor, I tell you. Every day, every time I saw him. That's 6 months of that, folks. Anyway, I just want to say, the people think it's, you know, the world think the Bible's madness. How could it ever be true? How could that ever work? But I realized before I was married, there was more than the you know, intimate physical relationship. There was the communication. There was the care, the love, the dreaming together, the finding out, the coming together, working through two people coming from different backgrounds, two different families, two different sets of how you do things, coming together and working through that. There was more. Now, intimacy is a part of it, but it's just a part of it, and there's just so much more. And so we see the Bible was right. I actually saw the Bible was right. I want to tell you today, if you're in that situation, the Bible's right. It's true. How we live our morals is important. I thank God that He described you and I as a created being. We're more than a biology. We're more than a stomach, more than just appetites. And He says we've been created in His image, and you have morals, and you can have a higher dignity and a higher purpose to your life. So the first temptation that came to Jesus, we see it was to reduce Him down to nothing more than His appetites. He refused it all. He says, I'm not going to be reduced to that, because humans have deeper needs than more than just bread or material pleasures that are temporary. He said that. And you know, and we've been created for joy that lasts more than a full stomach. Would you agree? Can you see Jesus went through the temptation to feed an appetite, because Jesus was showing us that we are more than the sum of my physical desires and appetites. And there's nothing wrong with having some appetites. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's just really bad when appetites have you. So Matthew writes about this, and he says, you know what? He says, Jesus said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from God's mouth, every thought that He shares, everything, His moral values, His principles for living, how to live right, His wisdom for us. I love that. So in 2024, are we going to be governed by appetites or by what God says in His word to you and me about ourselves? And I'm thankful. And you know, today, if you've given in too many times, given into some appetites, I've got good news for you today. There's a God that reaches out to all of us, and He says, you know what, there's forgiveness for all of us, and there's a mercy, a grace that I can supply. And you know, as you would come into this year, why don't you just look unto me, and you can know that all those regrets can be behind you, all the past failures can be behind you. I'm so glad that we have a God of the first, second, third, fourth, hundredth chance, aren't you? What a good God. That's grace. Second temptation of Jesus, if we're going to face it, what we're going to face in 2024, and even before the end of 2024, verse 5 to 7, the devil took Him up into a holy city, on the pinnacle of a temple, and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. The angels will take charge over you, bear you up so you won't, you know, dash your foot against a stone. Jesus says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Here's the second temptation. If Jesus faced it, we're going to face it. You've already faced it. And that's to reduce God down to a genie. This is a good one. You know what I mean by a genie? I mean a mythological story that goes, someone finds a bottle, they rub it, they take the lid off, a genie pops out and says, oh, I'm indebted to you, I'm compelled to give you three wishes, I've got to give them to you, whatever you say. And of course, the person asks for three things, and the genie grants it. And you know, it amazes me, sometimes what we can do, we can actually treat God that way. You know, I will know, you know, God, I'll know that you're real when you grant my request. Now, and we ask God for things like, can you help me pass the exam? Now, there's nothing wrong with asking. Let's balance this. But you know, and maybe some things like, you know, if you make my employer give me a pay rise, but oh God, that'd be really good. I'll really believe in you if you do that. And I really believe if you answer my prayer. It's amazing how we can come to God with that approach. And the devil tries that out on Jesus himself. And Jesus goes to the top of the temple, and the devil says, throw yourself down and get God to catch you with a couple angels, and it'll be really dramatic, and it'll all be over social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It'll be all over that, and you'll have hundreds of followers. Boom, boom. Okay, Don't worry about it if you didn't catch it. But you know, you'll have, that's the way you can make followers. That's the way people will follow you. If you have an impressive, dynamic moment in Jesus, we see refuses to lower himself, his Father in heaven, to a level of a performer or a performance. He refuses that. It can be a temptation for us to try and get God to prove his existence or love for us. That I will believe in you, God, if you just, Jesus, if you just do this and this. And you know what? We find sometimes Jesus says no. Now, I know we've been singing about how God answers. I am, understandably, God does answer. You know, Jesus will never withhold a miracle when a person comes to us or with a sincere heart and a faith in our hearts. God's not into holding back from us. God wants to give to us. But I've discovered something about my Heavenly Father. He has a perfect time and place. And his agenda sometimes doesn't line up with my diary. And that's okay, because that's where the song comes in and says we've got to trust him. We're going to have to trust him. But to continue this thought, there was many times when people would come to Jesus and say, just do it. Oh, we want a sign, Jesus. We want a sign. Have you read those parts in the gospel? And Jesus says, no. You know, there was a time in Matthew chapter 12, 38, 40, verses 38 to 40. Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And Jesus could see into their hearts. And he answered, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And no sign will be given to except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of a large fish of 3 nights and 3 days, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What was Jesus talking about right there? You know what he was talking about, folks? He was talking about the reality of that his death and resurrection, 3 nights, 3 days, 3 nights, he'd be out of it. He'd be crucified, buried, but 3 days later, he would be resurrected. He would rise up. That's what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus effectively replies to this Pharisees. What he's really saying, I refuse to perform stunts to win people because I've not come to be a circus performer. I've come to be a savior. This is how I will draw people to myself. I want people to be drawn to myself because I'm going to be lifted up from the cross, and then people will be drawn because of the saving grace and love of God, and not through some stunt or performance. And Jesus says, I want people to follow me even when I don't do what they want me to do when they want me to do it. How do you go with that when God doesn't answer that prayer? You say, well, God, if you don't answer it, I'm out of here. Or do you say, God, okay, time and place. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Folks, I prayed for 15 years for my mum's salvation. And one day, she came to Jesus in the front seat of my car. I know God's a good God. It's time and place, isn't it? And so often we're praying for someone else, but you know what? God's doing something in their heart and life to get them, to align them to the point where they come to that point of responding. It's God's got the incredible wisdom. He can see so far. God's already in your future. God's already in 2024. Did you know? He's just waiting for you. He's going to be there. So we see. The people who will attract. God wants people who will attach their faith to the character of God and not some particular request they have. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe. I'm going to ask. We're going to continue to believe for God to do wonderful things. I'm going to continue to ask. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Fall and the door will be open. So I'm going to continue to do that. But more than anything, God doesn't just want you to be that one-off trick pony. He just doesn't want to be a trick pony for you that just does one trick and you're all happy. He doesn't want you to treat him as a lapdog, you know, and just, you know, obey you. When I want you, no, God doesn't want that. He's not some type of person. What he is he wants you not for the moment, he wants you for eternity. And that's why he has the time and place. My faith in God doesn't need to be attached to God for answering my latest prayer. My faith is attached to a Jesus that died for me and rose for me to rise out of my sins and past. So my faith is not detached whether he jumped from a temple roof, but when he gave his life for my life. That's what my faith is attached to. I'm so thankful for the answered prayer. I've seen healing in my body. I've seen healing in my wife. I've seen healing in people's lives. Cancers heal. I'm so thankful. But if it doesn't happen in my time and place, I'm still going to trust Him. So in 2024, if you want to push through into the new year, that's what you're going to have to do. Because Jesus faced it, and the others will face it. Third temptation that you'll have to face. Third thing, in verses 8 to 11, the devil took him up an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, from with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God. And only him you shall serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The third temptation is to reduce your purpose to possessions. Your identity is not what you have, the stuff you own, even the gifting you have. Your identity is not in that. It's not in possessions. That's what the enemy is trying to tempt Jesus with. Your purpose is found in something far greater than that. I'm thankful that I have a nice shirt to wear, and I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for a pay. I'm thankful for a wage. I'm thankful for that, but it's not what makes me. And Jesus is being tempted to reduce his purpose to possessions. So here's this final temptation the enemy is trying to say. I can cause you to possess all of this wealth and all of its power, and you don't need to even go to the cross. Notice the devil was happy for Jesus to have the earth, provided he didn't change it. And Satan doesn't mind you getting rich as long as it keeps you from God's purpose. He doesn't mind you having stuff as long as it keeps you from God's purpose. I'm not condemning riches, by the way. But nothing wrong with it. Earn all you can, but realize there's something about it. You can't make it the source of your life. You can't make it your identity. And if it does, maybe you need to refocus, realign as you move into 2024. There's some things that you have that you couldn't do without. What about if they were taken away? How would you go? Would you still trust Him? Would you still live for Him? And it's easy for me to say, yes, of course I would. But we've got to see, this is the temptation. What good it is to gain the whole world and yet lose your own soul. Jesus faced the temptation that all of us are going to face. And it's a temptation to let money and possessions become our master, to ignore God's purposes for our lives because we're hell-bent on accumulating possessions. And Jesus replied to the tempter, Satan, be gone, Satan. Worship the Lord your God and Him only. And you know, in other words, Jesus is saying, if you're making me choose between acquiring stuff and serving the purposes of God, I'm going to choose the purpose of God, even if it means I'm going without a little bit of stuff. Jesus walked out of the wilderness without taking the stuff and maybe a little bit poorer. But 3 years later, the truth is, when he had fulfilled the purpose of God for his life, it says he had gone to the cross and he said, of all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Can you see what's happening? The devil was offering it to him there that day in the temptation. Jesus says, no, I'm going to worship God first. And even when he worshiped him first, it's amazing then God gave him all authority on heaven and earth. So he ended up with it. He just didn't want to put that before this. And church, if there's something we're going to do in 2024, is not put that before him. And it'll be tempting. You may say, oh, I've heard this and this is so simple. But you know what? We've got to do it. Because we'll walk into 2024, there'll be that temptation. Don't trade your character for a pay rise. Come on. It's a temptation we'll all face. Jesus says, away with you, devil, and serve only God. Why did Jesus say that? Because later Jesus knew he would say this, that you can't serve both God and money. You'll love one and what? You'll hate the other. It's true, isn't it? Or possessions or stuff or whatever it may be. We live very affluently, but let's not make the affluence something that weighs us down. Let us make it a blessing as we're givers. That's a good way to be able to stay in the right proportion of what's really I worship is to be a giver. Jesus says that because Jesus knew you can't serve both. As the team come this morning, we'll all go through these temptations at some time. We'll go through the temptation to define yourself by your appetites. You're more than a stomach and you're more than just material biology. You're more than biology. You'll be tempted, you know, to say God is more than our genie that does whatever we want. If you feel your prayers maybe have fallen on deaf ears this morning, can I realign your faith back to the character and the goodness of God that is seen through the cross and the empty grave? Can you realign if you feel like, God, you're not answering my cry? I don't think God despises anybody who cries out. It even tells him, God, it seems like you're not answering. I don't think he despises us. I just think you've got to come to that point where you've got to realize to realign your faith, realign the understanding that God is for you, not against you. And if you can trust him, and you know, in your panic and in your sometimes apprehension, you want it now. And God says, it's okay. I'm building something within your life, because it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to find out God's good and perfect what? Will. Sometimes we want concrete answers. God, give me concrete answers and I'll be happy with you. And God says, no, 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 be happy with me first. And I'll keep. And we can walk through this situation together and I'll direct you, because if God knows, there's some things that I'm thankful God didn't give me straight away when I asked for them, but years later he did, and I'm so thankful, because if he did, I wouldn't have been a handle what he gave me back then, but I can now. So thankful that we have a wise God. So we've got to be careful that we're not tempted to just say, God, give me, give me, give me. But God, take me, make me, make me, make me. More of you in my life. The third thing is, as much as money and stuff as you can, get as much as you can. Okay, go, that's okay. But don't let it become your master and overtake your life to the point where God's purpose for you is ignored because the love of things. That's the temptation. And the choices we make on these tests and these temptations will determine how our 2024 goes. It really will. It really will. Whether we keep going, doing what we've been doing and end up with the same mess, or whether we embrace a new way, align ourselves with blessing and joy and peace, align ourselves with Him, renew our faith, press into Him, maybe for the first time respond to Jesus and come to Him. Maybe to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, because again or for the first time, whatever it needs to be. But I want you to have, God wants you. We sang this morning, He's good God. He is an incredibly, He's better than you think. He's better than you think. It's just that we don't think He's better sometimes because we don't get what we want when we want it. It's okay. He has a planned purpose. Can we stand this morning? Wow, this 2024 is nearly upon us. To be honest, it's just another day tomorrow. It really is. It's just another day. But there's an opportunity maybe to reset some things, just like the calendars reset. There's an opportunity to move into that. Maybe there is a new season that you need to move into. If you want to see breakthrough, it's stepping into that. You know, just like, you know, if you're 35 years of age today, that means you've been around, this is your 35th year. Tomorrow will be your 36th year. That's a new season. Whether you like it or not, you're moving into a new season. But what will you embrace in this new season in your heart? New hope, new future, new realignment to God and all that He has for you? Or you'll just say, no, same old, same old. Hey, you know what? I read a little sign. You know, if you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And it's true, isn't it? So what are you going to do different to get something different than what you've got this year? What is it going to take? What do you need to do? Well, Jesus Christ died on a cross, took our sins so we could be forgiven, so that we can have a new day, a new hope, a new life, a new way, a new path. Whatever you want to describe it as, it's in Him. New and living way, He talks about in Scripture. So let's worship just for a moment more this morning. One last song as we close today. That'd be great.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, now washed in His blood. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. This is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. And I trust in God, my Savior.
We could just for a moment just close our eyes, just to give each other a moment of reflection, personal reflection. And I want to ask you, if today you just say, you know, just pray for me today. I just need to move into a different 2024, and there's some things I need to just reset. There's some things I need to realize that need to change, some things that just need to be I suppose realigned with what I know is right, but I just been, you know, so caught up in this. And I understand it can be this thing that wants to grab your heart and just continue to manipulate your mind and the struggles in there. But why don't we just pray today? If you're just saying, yeah, just pray for me right now. Could you just lift your hand? Let me just pray. Father, today, as we step in to a new year, quite literally within hours, it's going to be just another day, but in our hearts, we want it to be a shift in our lives. And Holy Spirit, we need more than just our own good thoughts. We need your wisdom, your empowering, your presence in our life like never before. And Father, I ask, Holy Spirit, have your way right now in every heart and life that maybe is wanting something to shift, something to change. Father, for those minds that are caught in a continual repeat, and for those minds, summer today continues to rehearse something and you just want to stop it, you've got to stop rehearsing it. Father, I pray for your strength to help them to say, to get off the wheel and to stop rehearsing that thing over and over again. Somebody needs to just forgive someone. Father, I pray for your strength. We don't condemn each other today. We're just thankful for your grace that heals us and ministers. And Holy Spirit, do that today. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We stand at the start of this year and we give you all honor and praise and worship. Come on, come on, let's do that. Thank you, Father.
And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Yes, I trust in God, my Savior.
Wonderful day, church. Encourage someone today before you go home. Please stick around and have a chat to someone. That'd be great. Thank you.